Hey everybody, welcome to The Gray Matters, where we come together to discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So as always, we are here to hopefully bring that to you every week with a little bit of nuance, class, and fun. Our panel consists of three guys that by now you have figured out are absolutely nothing alike. And you will soon come to find out, if you don't know, just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I am Billy Craig, joining you from Dover, Delaware. And today I am joined, as always, by my trusty sidekick, Stinger, in Nashville, Tennessee. And our diminutive robot friend, Tweeter Bell, joining us from Portland. And now we shall navigate the universe. For those of you who haven't figured it out, you'll get that in a few minutes. Go watch some Fat Albert.
Right.
How y'all doing today?
Man, I'm good. I really can't complain. Things look good.
No complaints.
All right, gentlemen.
We're waiting on the rain from the hurricane.
Yeah. And it's gonna be a lot of it too.
A lot.
Yep.
Yeah, fun with that. All right, well, let's get it in there.
Bet. So this episode today
is brought to you,
man.
Wow.
There's been a lot going. We've had some serious episodes, mental health and where is God? This one is serious, but y'all gonna laugh through this one because our pre-production on this has been hilarious. So
y'all gonna laugh on the back end because it ain't gonna be too funny on the front end.
No, but right. But just keep an eye on the dude that ain't in uniform. That's all I'm saying. So we're talking about accountability for your actions. Mm-hmm. I know that's a very broad subject, but we're gonna drill down as this thing goes. I was watching something on the internet, and somebody asked a woman, do women take accountabilities for the things that they've done and why life is the way it is? And she skated around the answer, and so it got me to thinking about the people that we know in our lives that have done the same, not just females, like people that we know literally who could be running companies, who could be 10 steps ahead of where they are, but because of certain things, they are not. But that part is fine. It's the attitude that goes with it. If you not somewhere, at least acknowledge the fact that you're not somewhere because of you instead of blaming everybody else. So that's what we're diving into.
OYS.
We're not name dropping, but what they say in those television shows,
hit dogs holler.
Well, that right. But also facsimiles of people may or may not be just coincidence. It's not based on a real life story. So
this is based on some actual people I know, and I got time.
So let's go.
Hey, I'm gonna sit back. I'll get to it.
So let's go ahead and go through the wheelhouse, man. So one thing, I'm start off broad and work our way in. So Billy, what is some of the reasons that you think that people our age, because we're growing at this point, what do you think some of the reasons are for people not accepting accountability for some of the life choices that they've made? They like to blame parents and coaches and teachers and all this. So what do you think the reason is, man?
The first two things come to mind for me, and it's because it's personal, and it's I've had to actually work through this. There is it's a sliding scale, but it is still, there's a point of demarcation where the statute of limitations runs out on parents, my coach, my teacher, my pastor, this person violated me. This person did me wrong. I dealt with abuse, trauma. And so when I say it's a moving target, I'm not here to tell another man or woman that because my story, I worked through it and got over it at, say, 33 years old, that by 33 years old, you should have gotten through it. However, at some point, this is not just about what happened to you in the past and what somebody did to you. The statute of limitations is up. But part two of it is, and I'll go a little bit deeper with it, is I think that, and this is something I've been actually, you know, not to get too far off in the weeds, it's something I've been working with in my church. I've been doing a whole sermon series talking about shame and the fact that we have shame culture. And I think a lot of people have a really tortured and unhealthy relationship with shame. And so a lot of times you don't have what you feel like you should have had. You didn't get to the goal you wanted. You made some bad mistakes. And we actually, and I believe America is uniquely bad at shaming people for being human. And so we end up adopting. Well, I say uniquely because I believe the whole American dream, the whole expectations, I had this coming to me, entitlement, has a lot of people believing that like a failed relationship is something to be ashamed of. No, you're alive, you're living, and you were working with another person and you went through these battles and challenges and maybe it didn't work out the way you all went into it expecting, but that's not something to be ashamed of. And if there's no shame attached to it, then I don't need to make excuses. Like, I just wasn't tall enough, or I just wasn't fast enough, I wasn't good enough, or I didn't score well enough, or I didn't put in the same work and practice, I didn't make the sacrifice. Whatever it is, don't make excuses or blame or point the finger. Just, it's okay. You don't need to be ashamed. It isn't something that you need to make excuses for or try to pass a responsibility off. And I feel like once you get over shame and show a little, you know, give yourself some allowances, then you don't have to torture yourself and frankly torture other people by being annoying and just blaming other people for your life and the way it did or didn't work out. So that's just my thought on it. Like, get comfortable with the fact that it ain't everybody else, man. It's okay. It is perfectly okay. Nobody getting out of here alive and ain't nobody getting out of here perfect. So just, you know, own it. That's it.
Yeah. So one of the things you was talking about is excuses. And, you know, and we've had this conversation about in our parenting episode where I say life boils down to a bunch of yes, no questions.
Right.
You got excuses and you got reasons. And sometimes, you know, and reasons for things to happen, you know, are perfectly fine. But when you let those reasons turn into excuses is where things go get off rail. And funny enough, you mentioned relationships, Billy, and one of the things that I have found, that, there was a question that popped up. One of my friends said, what is a typical kind of question that you ask on a first date to get to know somebody? And I'm gonna swing this to Paul, but my answer was, I want to get your thought on this.
Right, Heather is watching, bro.
Don't do it.
Paul been on the most first dates out of all of us, so
Heather is watching.
I said the best first question you can ask is, what was your role in your last relationship not succeeding?
That is no question.
And so. Yeah. I wanted to get your thoughts, other than that, you know, that being dope, like just kind of your thoughts on relationships and people not necessarily, because we've all know these people who, you know, when we get the reason behind why things didn't work out with somebody else, you only get the other person did, the other person did, the other person did.
Yeah. Without... I was other people at some point. I was people.
Yes.
I once was people until I wasn't.
Right. You have to learn what you want and what you don't want in yourself and for yourself. And I believe that not enough people spend time actually learning what they actually want. They just aimlessly wander about life for however many years we get, you know, 60, 70, or however many we get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they never actually have an end game.
Mm.
All they do is compare themselves to other people. And once you get out of comparing yourself, that's the only way you're going to be happy. You know what I mean? Like if I'm looking at my car in my driveway, and then I'm looking at your car and I'm measuring them, I'm never going to be happy. But if I have the car I want, whether you like it or not, it's the one I want, I'm always going to be happy.
And there's to your point, Paul, there's a book I've been reading, and he's a business coach. And he said something that really piqued my interest, because what you just said is the way he defined it was this. Many of us grow up in a culture where we have basically games that we play, and we play a finite game. We know that there's 60 minutes in this game, four quarters. We know that there's, you know, a half of football here and a half. We know that there are quantifiable timelines and things. And we know that at the end of that game, whoever has the most points, whoever scored the most runs in nine innings or seven innings, whatever, they win.
Right.
And then there are other games, they don't have time limits. Like, business is not something that has a, you know, yeah, you measure things based on your, you know, finances and quarterly reports or whatever. But relationships, like my relationship with my wife, does not end after four quarters. There is no, we might spend the next 10 years together and I might die of cancer, or we could spend the next 40 years together. And those right. are two totally different things. But a lot of times people plan things with a conquest in mind. So it's almost like, and I used to be people, and it'd be like, man, I really want to be with this girl. Then I get her and it's like the dog finally caught the car. Now what?
Right.
We didn't have no plan.
And wow, so that's a dope analogy. The dog caught the car.
Yeah. And so instead of just admitting the fact that, you know what, I was young, I was not wise, I didn't have my planning together, I didn't do it right, and I hurt somebody in the process, we coming up with every excuse in the book. No, man, bruh, you were actually faster than you thought.
She toxic.
Whoop-dee-whoop-dee. You caught the car. She was toxic before you chased her for the past 7 years. Then you got her, and you just didn't have no plan. And so to your point, that's it. Sometimes we just don't plan that far out.
We don't even think about what we actually want. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I probably wasn't until I was probably about 30, 31 before I figured it out. Mm-hmm. To even think about.
Yeah.
Thinking about what I want. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. To even start writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
Forget but finishing like, the book.
But like, and y'all both bringing it up, and it's par for course, because it's not just relationships, but like life in general. Like, why do you think that we've been taught, or at least refused to accept cutting bait? And accepting the loss when it happens, as opposed to trying to force something. No matter how many signals you get that says, yo, this is wrong, I'm not comfortable in here, or what have you. Like, I'll be honest, like, I'm changing jobs within corporate America because the previous job that I had wasn't a fit. And it didn't take me very long to recognize that it wasn't fit. And so it was like, yo, as soon as I find something else, then I'm out. And that happened. But previously in my 20s, I probably would have just sat there and tried to put the square peg in a round hole. And I think we do that a lot with life, is like, we, no matter how bad that person treats us, we got a person. No matter how, you know, no matter, you know, what I think about how my boss treats me, I got a job. And it's like, we go through and settle for just a comfortable, even though it might be uncomfortable to us, we find something that is comfortable in it and settle with that, as opposed to exploring. Like, with different relationships that we've been in, we've all witnessed a sign like, yeah, this ain't it. But yet we still like, you see people, like, as we've gotten older, you see conversations change. And so one person I saw online was talking about how a man wasted 2 months During the get to know you phase, she was like, you know, we was talking and we was going through all these different steps. And then after 2 months, he decided that I wasn't it. And I feel like I wasted my time. And it was like, and then somebody called her out and was like, yo, but y'all was getting to know each other. And he found out that you wasn't the one for him.
Right.
What, like, it's just that simple. Like, but of course that turned into a whole, well, I'm this and I'm that, so I don't understand how I can't be the one for him and things like that. And I think it's an immature way to look at life, is that everybody ain't for everybody. And go ahead, man, because you breathing. Go ahead.
No, you
got something you want to say, because you know.
No, you preaching. I'm letting you talk.
I can't tell if he was breathing like he was huffing and puffing, or whether you was just like grunting like, amen.
He looked like he was biting his tongue, like he had something he was about to go into.
You said it, and I may have mentioned this to you guys before. I just finished, not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago, a book called Quit. There's an author. Her name is Annie Dukes, and she, in the book, it chronicled, and it was, this is not particularly profound, or something that's hard to understand, but it gave me language to be able to express it. And here's what it is. She said, one of the reasons why people don't quit, whether it's like Andre was saying, I didn't quit this job, even though I know there ain't no future here, this relationship. One of the biggest reasons why is because part of the human condition is to attach our identity to something that really we shouldn't be attached to. And so it's almost like, I don't want to quit because I feel like if I quit, people will look at me different. And the fact is, ain't nobody looking at you. Your identity is not attached to that. Right. Like, nobody really cares. Ain't nobody thinking about you. But we think if I leave, then people are going to look at me like I'm this, or we think that. And one of the things I'll share, as Andre was talking about quitting his job, not quitting his job. I'm sorry. He's changing jobs.
I am changing jobs.
There you go.
Yeah, he likes his job.
Yeah.
Very much.
He just likes this one better.
Right. I like what I do. I just didn't like the people I was doing it for.
Now, here's the thing. But here's what's crazy. Right. People who are, and you guys know this, I recently shut down my most recently opened store after about a year and a half of it being open. And, part of what happened was I realized that it's not that I don't want to be in business in that way, or I didn't like having a store. I've always liked retail and, you know, that kind of thing. I love the environment. I love my customers, all of that. But I realized that I was doing something at a time where it's like, I hate this and I don't have to be. I really don't have to be. And the only reason I didn't want to quit and shut it down was because I didn't want people to think, oh man, he failed or whatever. And I realized, I woke up one day, all jokes aside, I woke up, it was on a Tuesday. I woke up and was like, true story. I was like, man, I'm Billy Craig. I done opened and closed 6 different stores in my life. I've lived in 7 different parts of the country. Like, I've made probably close to millions of dollars. I've lost as much as I mean. Like, what I got to prove, man? I'm about to shut this thing down. And I reached out to the landlord. I let him know. I know I have an out of my clause that I can get out of here. This is not working for me. And the reason why it wasn't making the money it needed to is because I wasn't vested in it like I needed to be. Right. It was time to walk. But the biggest thing was, I was thinking, well, yeah, but I got these employees and I don't. Man, they was like, we don't. I mean, they care. Don't get me wrong, but they was
what
like,
"What were we talking about earlier, Riff?" And what were we talking about earlier? Being allowed to fail is the greatest gift ever.
Yes, and I didn't have that when I was younger. I didn't have. That's exactly what we were talking about.
Athletically, I've never been allowed to fail. I don't know what it feels like to be a Collins boy. Was make this player. You ain't never getting in the game again, kid.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. But that's a totally different energy and a totally different vibe.
Right.
And that's part of it. But to Andre's point, when you first get that, like my dad tells me the story when he got on, he started at IBM in 1968. And he recognized that the reason why he got that job in corporate America as a service tech for IBM as a black man in 1968 was directly connected to the civil rights movement, affirmative action, Lyndon Johnson, all these laws and stuff. He felt the pressure and he retired.
He wasn't after allowed 33 years.
He was like, he literally felt, he said, people would even tell him like, well, but if you did this now, you've been working it for 10. He was like, no, you don't understand. He had made it up in his mind. Ain't no second chances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to and he retired from that place. He said, I don't care whether he was sick, tired, frustrated, whatever. He was like, nah, man, I'm going to work and I'm going to do the best job. And I ain't never going to take for granted that my job is safe. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it felt he was like, I don't have the luxury of just cutting corners and pulling back. Anyway, I say that simply to say
no shortcuts.
And so I say that only to say that a lot of times when your identity is attached to something, when you feel like this is what Ronda Rousey said when she lost, she said she was depressed at a point of source. She said, if I'm not, she said, what am I if I'm not this? Mm-hmm. What if I'm not the baddest woman on the planet? Would everybody even hype me up to be? What am I? Who am I? And that's
well, she's like the clip, the real Haley Van Lith put out that she was talking about basketball, finding her purpose.
Yeah. And that's too often why I think a lot of times people make excuses because the excuse has to justify it as though you need a justification. You don't need a justification.
Well, and to that point, I think that definition of what people label themselves at or see themselves as is really dangerous. And it wastes a lot of time. Like
it hurts people's people.
It destroys them because
they collapse.
You see yourself. I see myself as a wife or a mother, and I'm scared to see myself like even though the marriage is failing. Like what would I be if I'm not like I've been married for 20 years? I'm known as this person's wife. Like what would I do if that wasn't there?
Or I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
And if the church decides they want to go in a different direction and they fire me or something, then what am I going to do with my life? And what, dude, you a father and a husband and an entrepreneur and a public figure. You a lot of things. Why is your identity tied up in just being a preacher or just being
athletes, you know, and entertainers have it the worst.
They absolutely do. I was just about to say that athletes are wrapped into it.
Military, when they retire. Yeah, like all of a sudden they don't have them bars, they don't have that rank no
purpose.
More. Who am I if I'm not corporal?
Well, even though it's a darker term, people who get out of jail suffer the same thing, especially when they spend a long time in jail.
Recidivism is actually very just much like, built on that.
I went into jail at, you know, 14, 15 years old. I'm 30, 35. The only thing I know is jail. Like I don't know another thing. Like and
you got a homeboy from the zone that has been pretty much locked up since we were about like 15. And I think he just got out.
Mm.
And I also have a homeboy who was locked up for like a long chunk, but he was actually a man before he went in. So there's a different, you see what I'm trying to say?
Right. And it's interesting because we may even be thinking of the same person, but one of the things going back to that whole shame piece and how we have to be gracious enough,
mm-hmm.
whenever you find somebody who went in as a young man,
right.
And then their life basically started. Well, by the time we were in our 30s, early 30s, when we started figuring it out and writing the real narrative, we tricked off our 20s, but this person comes out, he didn't even experience freedom until he was in his 30s. So he was kind of late getting started, just having kids, just getting a real job.
What the internet is.
And right. And what happens is, I don't feel like, at least my experience is, I don't feel like our society gives people the ability to as you said, they don't give them a chance to fail. There's shame associated with it. Instead of just saying, look, man, fine, you messed up. You did 10, 12, or however long you did. You got four. If you live to your average life expectancy of 75, you still got 30, 35 good years. Man, go make the most of it. Don't worry about that stuff. Go out there and do something with it and be proud of that. You don't have to make excuses.
Matter
for
of fact,
why you
got don't locked go up. Back to where you got locked right. up at.
Yeah.
Start there.
Right.
Yeah. Let's
go somewhere else.
Number one. Yeah. And the point is that you don't have to be defined. Like how many times they say you don't have to be defined by your failure? Mm-hmm. But too often, the reason why people don't want to, going back to the original question, people feel the need to make excuses and not take accountability because they're afraid that if they just own it, like they're going to be banished from the kingdom. No, we all got something we got to own.
Yeah, the I hate the you lucky talk.
Now you want to fight. Now man, you want to just start now,
yeah, we done touched a nerve on this one because all three of us have been for the people that are new to this show, we all three went to private schools, different circumstances on how we got there, but we all went there, and that has defined people that we've left since then still define us by that, even though we've lived seven different lives since that moment that we graduated back in 93 to 95 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
by the way, shout out to just the greater Cincinnati area, because who was that I was joking with online? I think it was Cliff. Somebody was saying it because we were talking about like, what's the first question you ask somebody from Cincinnati? What high school did you go to? Cincinnati's weird. Like, I didn't realize how much of a toxic kind of like fascination we have with where you graduated from.
And yeah, you're high school. You much defined by what you did by the time you're 17.
And here it is. In fact, we're going to be celebrating, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to put our 30th year anniversary or 30th year reunion together here soon from high school when I graduated. And it's like people still be like, oh, for real? You graduated from Roger Bacon. As though that means something today. Man, right. I've lived in what, two, three different time zones like, since Roger Bacon. Bro? Right. But you know, that's your identity. And it's like I'm stuck with that identity.
But most people die within, I want to say, 5 miles of where they're born.
Mm. Mm.
Is that the statistic
it's
or something?
Something close to that, yeah.
Yeah. So they still think you still worry. They left you.
I'm not a turtle. I've traveled more than 5 miles away from where the eggs were laid and mama made the nest.
And none of it was luck. Like not one part of where I am right now in my existence is
the good or the bad.
The good or the bad. Like I took a choice to learn from my failures and I had plenty and accelerated past that. You took a choice to make failure become you and you got stuck there. Don't blame me because that was the choice that you made. This is what we talk about now I'm pissed. Now we talking about accountability now. This is what we talk about when we talk about accountability is you chose to stay. What did Riley tell him? You saw P coming, you stayed. I saw P coming, I moved.
Right.
Like this is what happened in your life. You decided to get pissed on Riley and you decided to stay in that place.
Oh my God.
Don't be mad at me because I chose to move from it.
Riley Freeman, though.
Words of references.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I ain't mad at all, bro. That's literally like my life philosophy. I see P, I move.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm just saying.
And the thing, you know what's funny, though? Because even though, like, that's hilarious, that's the first thing that jumped in your mind. The fact is, my mistakes, if I stayed, that is something that I need to just learn from and move on. It still don't define me, just like my accomplishment doesn't define me either. Like, I'm defined by a whole bunch of choices, most of which y'all don't know nothing about. But I'm not about to sit here and just sit here and keep pointing. Well, if Paul had done this, it would have been it. I might be right. But that was also, yeah. And you know what? And that was 33 years ago. What are we doing? 33 years ago? And you still mad at Paul because he did something at lunch? 33 years ago. And you still see Paul in at Kroger in the frozen food aisle, and you mad
and got because your fist balled up like Arthur.
You got your fist balled up like Arthur because of what Paul said to you at lunch 33 years ago.
The weirdest
man, your identity got to be bigger than
man. The funniest thing is watching people who are stuck in those moments and the look that they receive, like the look on their face when they finally realize that you don't give shit about none of that. Like, I don't even, I don't even remember your name. Like, to be honest with you, like what are you mad at me? I'm gonna need you to start from the origin story, my guy. Like, I don't remember because it wasn't that important to me.
Like, bruh.
Yeah. And it's crazy because that's actually part
of... Has your life been that pathetic that you're still worrying about what happened in middle school?
You say pathetic, but one man's pathetic is just, in my mind, another man's small. The world is too big.
Okay.
My God is too big.
I believe the world is small. See, I didn't live so many goddamn places.
Right. So the universe, okay. So the universe is too big. God is too big. My possibilities are too big to be mad. Like, yeah, I still remember it. Yeah, that was foul what you did back in the lunchroom to my pizza.
How much did it cost? Because at this point in my life, I have divided my decisions on how I deal with you based on like how much money you cost me, or if you like almost made me like commit a felony. Like, man, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Like,
did you if cost you me my sanity? Did you cost me sleep? Did you cost me like all of that comes into fact? If none of those, if you don't move the needle on none of those, I promise you, it ain't a big deal at all.
Ain't lost a wink.
Well, and I'll throw this out here because I've often had some really heated disagreements on this, but part of the accountability question that you bring up when you ask, you know, about people not being accountable, I'll take it back to relationships. Some of my, excluding my wife, obviously, and my wife is happy. She's fine. She's somewhere not listening to me right now. But outside of my wife, I've had other relationships prior to her. And there's almost this feeling of like, at what point do you move on from it? And should you be like, how do you put it? Should you no longer have any feelings or emotional attachment to it? Because I feel like that actually goes back to the accountability thing too. Not just I owe you something. I don't mean it like that. But I mean, at what point do you free yourself from feeling like I have to be bound to this feeling? Like, I have anybody I've dated in the past, anybody I was in a serious committed relationship with in the past, I feel perfectly fine about them. Like, I don't have any ill will. And frankly, even friends and people who've done me wrong.
Outside of my baby mama, everybody we good.
Yeah. And here's what I'm saying. I asked that though, because there's always
my baby mama.
Well, but I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. But here's what I'll say. All jokes aside, even the fact that you are capable of saying that, I think is part of the work that sometimes people don't do when it comes to accountability, because they're too busy. Like, you know what? This could have been this if you had, or if you hadn't, or if you, and I'm just like, at what point do you just say, look, I am what I am, or I'm not what I'm not, and not feel like I have to, again, like you did not offer one excuse for why it is baby mom didn't work. Because it don't matter.
No,
It don't make no difference.
It don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Boy, that's no questions.
He grown.
Because there are some people that if they brought up, you bring up their, that's my point. There are some people, you bring up their baby mama, and it's like they go from everything was cool to like now their blood pressure up. You know what I'm saying?
No, it ain't that.
They turning red. They ready to fight. You know, all the bad memories come up. It's that toxic.
Yeah, yeah. My kid grown, and I raised him, so I don't have no issues.
Right.
I just don't like her.
Right, man. And you don't have to. And
right.
But that's the thing. Like, that is
that's maturity. I'm not even acting like I'm innocent. I'm not even acting like I was like a perfect angel in the situation. Like, I did everything right. She did everything wrong. No, I don't like her. That's it.
But here's the group. That's okay.
That's like, supposed to be. No, that's supposed to be okay.
Yeah. Right. It that's should be okay. That's
supposed to be okay. And that's part, but that goes back to your question, Andre, because I don't honestly feel like in society, and maybe that's not the best example, you know, those type of relationships, but I just feel like people are not given license. Like you talked about they dated for 2 weeks. I mean, two months.
2 months,
and yeah. And he was just like, I don't think it's going to work. And she feeling some kind of way. It's like, sure, he didn't waste no more of your time. He actually did you a favor.
He gathered all the information that he needed, and that was it. Like it. All right.
Why
I don't
do
like
women
it.
Feel like we owe them to be attracted to them?
Now you, yeah. Because
I don't have to think you pretty.
But it cuts both ways too, because there's a lot of men that feel like women right. owe them. Man, it's equally toxic because what it shows is that entitlement spills in. And that's why people don't take accountability. They make excuses like it was her. She was a prop. Mm-hmm. She was a gold digger. She was, bruh.
Oh, and dudes do the same thing. I had my suit. That's right. What I'm saying. Cologne was right. I paid for this. I paid for that. She should have came up off the draws. You right.
You are 5'3" and your breath stank.
Right. But it to
don't
that
nobody
point,
care
though.
How much money you make.
Right.
I don't want to.
But to that point though, like, and this gets back to when I said the question you asked is what role did you play in your last relationship? If all you hear is the other person's problem, like what the other person did, and that, and I'm just giving free game at this point. When you go out on your first date with somebody, or hell, even a 10th date, if you ask them that question and all they hear is the what the other person did wrong, get up from the table. Because that person is not willing to accept accountability. They just don't.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll give you some free game. If you can't learn from someone in 3 dates,
Man, you beat me to it. Get up. I was like, if you sitting at the 10th date and you don't know? He frozen.
Within 3 dates, run.
Yeah. 3 might be a little bit tight because, you know.
Well, it depends on what y'all do. I mean,
I need to learn. It just depends on conversation. Well,
no, I'm not disagreeing with the idea that there needs to be. Again, where did I start? There is a statute of limitations before this is your fault. If you weren't listening for the first 3 dates, you shouldn't even have a 4th or a 5th date to glean any.
Well, y'all did. Well, put it this way: if you're not in a situation where y'all can have conversations within first 3 dates, you dating wrong. You're doing it wrong.
Your whole algorithm is broken.
You're gonna spend more time with your clothes on than with your clothes off.
Here's the deal: 10 dates.
Take it from married people. That is 100% fact.
10 dates. Okay. See, you threw me off of that. You right, but I wouldn't. All I'm saying is 10 dates, just the way I'm built, by the 10th date, you should, y'all
we
should
go together
actually,
at the 10th date.
Not
the
only that,
by the 5th date, we go
by
together.
By the 10th date, I'm getting my mama to sign off on this thing.
Right.
Like, what are we doing at date 10? Right. I've already made plans for my mama. I ain't taking it, but daddy's.
We should be cooking at the crib. We shouldn't even be eating in restaurants at the 10th date.
No. Matter of fact,
But even after that 10th date,
let's that's say, also free game.
That is. Yeah. That is. But let's say, but let's say 10, let's just say they slow and they make it to the 10th date where that is right. That's the meal at the crib.
Right.
After you find out how somebody operates at that crib and you find out that ain't for you, it's still okay to walk away. Like,
yeah, run.
Maybe dude nasty, run. Or maybe she nasty. Like, maybe you get to their house and you be like, ooh, this is this, I can't live like this.
Or maybe
like,
y'all both nasty and it's cool.
Yeah. Right. Maybe you leave your socks on the dresser, she leave hers on the sink. Like, it's cool. Right. Whatever works for y'all. But just it's okay to find out
in
like
the bathroom, just all kind of food in the bathroom, all kind of weird shit. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Hamburger helper sitting next to the tub, like whatever works.
True it's story. Funny story. My wife, we had been dating for whatever, and we had a friend, it was some complications, but we had a long engagement. So when we finally got married, after several years, it was interesting because we were sitting there talking. I think she might have been pregnant with my son. And we were driving, I think we were driving to visit her family in Louisville, and Aretha Franklin came on, and she was like, I can't stand Aretha Franklin. And I was like, what?
Right.
Like,
you could have told me this.
Like, you were supposed to tell me that. Like,
and I would have shut this down immediately.
I was like, she's already pregnant. Like, we can't get an annulment. Like, we've been married for like 2 years. We've been dating and engaged forever and often. Damn, nah, man, you can't just pop off. I can't stand Aretha Franklin.
I'm gonna need to pull the car.
Because I said,
we got to talk.
I said, young Aretha Franklin or old Aretha? She was saying both.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, what? Yeah, that's one of them.
You like, know what my wife told me?
You tripping.
My wife told me that she ain't really fuck with Luther like that. We swapping shit, since we throwing things out there, hey,
I got one to top both of y'all. Since we going,
he always got a doozy. Shout out to Jackie. Don't do this, man. Don't do this to Jackie.
She'll accept it. Jackie told me Kirk Franklin's overrated, and that Gucci Man is better than Kirk Franklin in the music.
What the hell? Mm. Hold on, and she you said know, Gucci.
Here's the thing. I was almost willing to listen to
There's a B-side. Yeah, there's a B-side to the argument.
She said the Gucci Man. That's when I had to follow.
It took a lot. It especially with my involvement in musical endeavors and arrangements and writing
in Nashville,
and we live in Nashville and all of that. Like, I had to breathe. I had to breathe. Because you know, I still wouldn't have agreed.
I had to too when my wife told me
I just accepted the fact.
I put on If Only for One Night.
She wasn't moved.
And she was not moved.
Look.
I was insulted.
I am insulted, by the way.
Right. Man. Here's the thing, though. I just accept, just to button that part up, because I'm like, that's some devastating news. I ain't going to lie.
Gucci
Man over. As far as I'm concerned,
Gucci Man.
Though. Yikes. It's proof.
I mess with Guwap though. Gucci code.
The way wrong. She actually got a point. She had a balance. No,
she's
she
not far off. Like, she I'm gonna balance, put on some Gucci before I put on some Kirk Franklin. Real talk.
She out of bounds, man. Nah, you don't.
Paul started debating. Paul debated.
She ain't supposed to say it out loud, though. She's not supposed to verbalize that.
And here's what I will say to all of it. These are the types of things that, when you're petty like us, those are deal breakers. That honestly, it could have ruined our first date had she said some foolishness like that. I ain't gonna lie. I would have questioned her I'd have questioned her relationship with God if she told me
your perspective on the first is day, whack.
Boy, but here's the thing. My wife is so dope. she's so brilliant, so beautiful that it's like I almost would have had to give her a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
But
here, take this pamphlet home, study this, and there's gonna be a quiz.
Yeah. Get it right. Don't come back right. like this tomorrow.
Nah, yeah. Don't say that around nobody black. That was a joke. Me and my wife have we have a don't say that don't say around that, nobody black that you don't know.
Yeah. We just call it.
That's one of the.
We even tell our kids that though, Paul. We be like, listen, don't tell nobody outside this house. What you just said.
Keep that
like for
keep
real.
That internal.
Don't just, tell nobody outside this house because ain't nobody gonna love you.
You know we got a bunch of them because right. You know our kids from Utah, so you know we done had a bunch of them conversations. I don't tell nobody else black that.
I'm gonna keep that right here in this car. We gonna get out this car and we gonna.
What we gonna act like that never even happened. Yeah,
right. We just gonna ball it up, throw it in the wind.
But I was gonna say moving, but just moving it real quick. Like, unfortunately, and this is more of a monologue than anything. I've had to actually move off of a lot of my friends. And people who I honestly growing up thought I was going to be friends with this man
forever,
this woman forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forever. Until I realized.
We're talking friendships too. Keep going.
Until, you about to spit on this until I realized, and it was hard. When I say hard, like it was heartbreaking when I realized this dude or this girl, she can't grow. She just will not grow to the point of accountability. I always say it. You're not even willing to try to do the work. We've made this real simple. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's shaming you for it. Nobody's asking you to fall down, prostrate, and you know, cry or write a song about nothing. All we're saying is it's time to grow up and own it.
That's it. Just own your mess.
I was not the best child or teenager.
For real?
I wasn't.
For real?
I wasn't. So, especially when people you haven't seen in like years and years and years, you give them room to grow because you've grown.
Mm-hmm. And then you take it.
And then when you offer them help to get what they actually want and they resent you for offering them help.
Yeah. Actually, they actually hate you.
Because you offered to help them.
We ain't talking about we doing selfies offering that. We ain't talking about the whole world knows. We talking about I pull you aside and I sit down with you and talk to you man to man and say, listen, I've been here. I've done that. I understand. I'm not comparing my situation to where you are, but I can relate to some degree. Let me put you up on some game. I'll even throw you some bread. I'll do whatever I can. I'm in this week because I want you to win. And you literally turn against me. I mean, there have been people who I've actually let live in my house. Like, I've actually put a roof over your head. I paid your car note. I've helped you pay your bills. I paid your child support.
Didn't ask for nothing.
Wasn't
back.
Even thinking about it.
Right.
And you actually resent me as though I somehow did something wrong. And it's like, shame on me, right? You could argue, hey, shame on me because you did the most anyway. Well, I don't have any regrets.
I had a homeboy who helped me out when I was down bad. So that.
What I look like not paying it forward.
There you go.
Literally. What kind of man am I?
And I, even though you use the term, and I get the term paying it forward, like it's one of those terms that actually annoys me just because it's like, yo, I'm just being a decent human. Like,
right. Just being solid.
That's it. Like, I don't even consider me paying anything. Like, and that's why I'm going with it. Like, feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Like, there's a guy.
See, are you going there, Andre? Yes.
There's a guy that I know through y'all for the most part.
Oh.
that
through Riff.
Wow. Okay. That
we gonna do it. We gonna do it.
That, you know, I was like, all right, cool. He's pretty solid because they with y'all. And you know,
right.
I tolerated some disrespect.
You come in on the right back.
Yeah.
I'll rock with you.
You know, and I tolerated disrespect a little bit. It was like, I don't really feel comfortable with this, but then eventually I just was like, yo, this is toxic. I gotta separate myself there. A little bit past, get a phone call. Hey, I need some help. I need some designs for things and you know, this and that, whatever, using my expertise. And I'm like, cool. All right, no problem. You know, it is what it is. We're going to put the past behind. You know, I heard some things have changed. You know, I've heard some growth has happened. Let's go ahead and do it. Fast forward, you know, a year later, person decided to reveal he the same cat that he was before. Now, old Andre, immature Andre would have signed up to have a bare knuckle brawl somewhere in the alley or something like that. But I've grown and I've matured, and all it is, yo, I don't need this in my life. Like, I recognize
I chose peace.
And that's best for everybody. I promise it is. And for that, I feel like that's when you reach that level of maturity. It was like, I just don't need this in my life. Like, when we talk about friends and having to separate yourself from friends, it's okay to recognize I can't count on this person, and I don't have to shame you. I don't have to sit there and dog you or anything. Like, it's not me looking down on you. It's me saying I am worth my peace. May the Lord watch between us, but you know, while we're absent one from another, we'll stay absent for a while. But I don't need that in my life. I'm at a point where I have to take care of wife and four kids. I don't owe anything else to anybody else on this walking this earth. I love Billy and Paul to death.
That's right. You know, two things really quickly with that. I've shared this story a lot. Many people probably heard this about Allen Iverson. And he talked about his homeboy.
Oh, yeah.
He literally said it got so bad that he said he was just wilding out. And he told him, we're going to meet. And he said on his next off day, he flew back to Philly, met up with him, handed him a briefcase with $150,000 in cash and said, man, I love you. You know, we go back this like too fast, whatever. He said, don't ever reach out to me again. Don't ever speak to me again. Like, it's it. But the other thing, too, is I was thinking about it, even as you were sharing it, Andre, and you talk about pet peeves and things, grind your gears.
I got a homeboy that I did that with.
Yeah.
Like, recently. Recently.
Yeah.
I hadn't talked to him in years. Sorry to cut you off, but I want to say this story because I believe it's relevant to what we're talking about. And I'll be quick. Reached out to me. He's from our neighborhood. I'm not going to say the kid's name. Or the guy's name, he's not a kid. We all, you know, middle-aged men. But he reached out to me, or his wife, I should say, reached out to me about 6-7 months back. And we used to do nefarious things in the southern
back in
state.
The day, yeah, right.
Right? And I took the call, and we talked for hours. And he's called a bunch of times, and I refused to answer the phone. I had a good time. We had a good talk. We caught up. We good. Move on, pimp.
It's over.
That's it.
It's over. I can't. It's a reason we haven't spoken years. And it's probably best for both of us.
You know, and the thing is, just quickly, just kind of even following up on that. When we think about when it's like time for it to be over, like, it's okay. You know, I told the story about Allen Iverson because at some point you just reach, you know, that term limit. But when it comes to accountability and owning it, I think sometimes we struggle with this idea that somebody owes, Allen Iverson didn't owe him that money. He didn't owe him more time. Mm-mm. He didn't owe him an explanation. He didn't even owe him really anything. And there's a lot of people that kind of feel like, you know what, I owe this to this. And the last thing I'll just say, at least on this, is this. Andre said something about just being a good human. And I and I don't want to go too far off on the tangent, but what grinds my gears is people that feel like everything is a Christian value or everything is a matter of faith. And it
attacking people about their faith.
How about you don't have to have a particular doctrine or theology or faith-based reason to actually just let the man have some water or some bread or just actually hold the door open for him. Or if a person is struggling to read something, you allow them to do it. Like, at what point do we stop with this idea that everything is religious or everything is spiritual and just accept the fact that it's like, I don't need a message from the Lord to just be human. And I ain't trying to preach. Reverend Brown, yeah. I ain't trying to preach, but hey, we here. You know,
I don't even find that as a preaching thing, because that's like, combine that with what Paul just said, which is stop attacking people for what they believe. Like, all of that kind of goes together. Like, even if it was, you know, me saying the church led me to mm-hmm. bring you a plate. Okay, what's wrong with that? Like, no reason Jesus should be brought up in that, because what I did was just to help another human. Like, it doesn't matter how we got here. Like, I think the smallest thing in the world, and this is a pet peeve of mine, I'm ready to own that, is people that knock other people's faith, other people's religions, knock other people's beliefs. Because when we do that, like, okay, you don't believe in God, that's cool. You don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in that story, all of that, I'm perfectly fine. I don't knock you for that. Don't knock me for what I do choose to believe.
Absolutely. 1,000. And in fact, just to wrap it up, it all goes back to the accountability thing. It's perfectly okay to do the work of being accountable, even if you weren't, you know, maybe if you don't understand how that fits in the Bible or how that fits doctrinally or scripturally. Like, don't, because as far as I'm concerned, people use Jesus as an excuse, just like they use other people as an excuse. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we find that even in a lot of religious circles, especially when you start talking evangelical, you start talking about these hardcore Christians where it's like, well, I can't be associated with, nah, you're making excuses. You're just a horrible human being.
And that's, no matter what God you put behind that, you're a horrible person.
There you go. There's lots of horrible Christians out there, just like there's plenty of horrible atheists or horrible Muslim, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you subscribe to.
You're terrible.
and there we are.
Yeah.
Hey, we have reached that time in the program for those who are joining us on streaming platforms and not actually looking at our beautiful faces. That sound you heard was our APB sound effect. One, I want to thank everyone who is listening by streaming platforms. We definitely wouldn't be able to continue to do this show without y'all support. And so we definitely appreciate that. But for those who are watching on YouTube and all of in Facebook and in IG and all of that, we definitely appreciate you too. And we're gonna get into this APB. So who I'm looking for this time, sticking on task, I'm looking for people who want to grow. I'm not talking about people that are willing to grow. I'm talking about the actual people who want to. One of the things that I've found that marked a spot in my growth was when I was willing to accept never getting the explanation that I felt I deserved.
Man, oh,
preaching. And I thought Rev was the Rev was the preacher
on that one.
Boy.
So when I realized that and was able to move on and function my life without ever going back to having those thoughts, I realized that I had matured. I had reached. It was almost like, you know, reaching the final level of, you know, the boss level of a video game, where it was like, I've reached Zen at this point, where you know, I got the yellow glow like Bruce Leroy and all that. Like, because I'm
sure that took a while for you, because you was the golden boy,
man. But it definitely took a while, just because the circumstances that I grew up in versus and also took advantage of throughout a long period of my life. Like, I had explanations to a lot of things.
Right. And everybody gave you an answer.
Yeah, they did. They
and Andre was going to be like, and if you don't give me an answer, I ain't moving.
Right.
And so, you know, but when you have, whether it's, you know, old friends that we just grew apart or things like that, or exes or whoever else, hell, even jobs, like, where people are, you know, don't want to have the closure. Like, I created my own closure, I guess is the best way to describe it. And when you can create your own closure and be able to move on from circumstances, whether it was a bad childhood or bad jobs or bad relationships or people did you dirty or anything like that, hell, even the church did you wrong, like, when you're able to find your own lane of closure from that, it is the most liberating thing that you will ever experience. Because at that point in time, you truly can say, because it's cool to say, I don't really care what anybody got to say, I don't really care about other people's opinions of me. When you reach that step, you really don't. You really don't care. And that is a great feeling. And I want other people to join. I know that Paul and Billy have reached that stage in their life. And I want y'all to join us. I'm looking for people willing to join us to be on the side of not giving a fuck. Like, because that is where you really need, you need to live over here. Because at the end of the day, the people that you caring about and want explanations from and need next, like, living your daily life, they don't care about you
at all.
Or if they do, they not caring about you in the right way, and you deserve better. So I'm looking for people to be able to grow. And look at, like, they actually want to grow to that point. And
I'm, y'all, you know what, I'm, man?
Add to it.
Yeah.
The people ahead, you care about don't care about you.
Yep. Mm. I was getting ready to piggyback and go that same direction, because that's so good, Andre. You can't get to that level until you recognize that there are going to be a lot of people that you care more about it than they do. They not. My psychiatrist once told me, she said, they not coming.
Boy, help.
They not coming. Help is not there. She said it. She said the reinforcements aren't coming. You're gonna do this on your own from here till you take your last breath, till your heart beats its last beat. You ain't nobody coming. Mm-mm. Whatever you're gonna do with your life, it's you. And so what you say, like, and I even appreciate the way you set that up. That is beautiful. Like,
it was.
Join us on this journey, because
it's
nice. We flawed. We are flawed as all hell.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the fact that
we transparent.
I ain't got my man Dusty. Shout out to my one of my best friends named Dusty. He always told me. I remember him telling me this. He's a few years older. I remember when I was in college, he told me this. He said, Billy Craig, you ain't got nothing to prove. When you get to that point, I don't need an answer. Like you said, I don't need an answer. I'm not waiting for your explanation. I'm not waiting for your approval. That's when you can actually grow. That's when the journey looks totally different then. That's when everything gets real. Because you ain't faking
anybody to help you. I don't expect anybody to do anything for me. I don't expect anybody to pick up the other end of the couch. I don't expect anybody to help me move. I don't expect anybody to help me with any money. I don't expect anything from anyone.
This includes parents.
Yes.
No, this is especially for parents, even the ones that have passed on. Like, we have to be willing to, because that's when it's the hardest. It's like, when you have parents that have passed on, they've died, then it's like, man, if I could have done this, I wish I could ask my dad or my mom to, man, I got parents who I just talked to my daddy on the phone not even 2 days ago. It's not that I couldn't ask him the question or that he wouldn't answer it. I don't need it.
I don't need it. But even at the same time, when some people have parents that want to lay guilt trips and things, I did this and I did that. I have already repaid you by being a dope human being.
Yes.
That's the only thing I owed you. I did this whole entire thing. I appreciate the help growing up and all of that.
I did not embarrass you.
That's what I said. My dad used to tell me, he said, just don't embarrass.
I did not embarrass anyone with my last name.
Yep. That's all I owed you.
Yep.
That's it.
So let's, that's it. Shout out. Recruiting. Yes. Shout out. People that want to actually go out there and do the work.
What'd you say, Billy? Won't you come? Won't you come?
Join us.
The doors are open.
So the doors of the church are open. If all minds are clear, you can come.
Like Charlie Murphy said, Rick James was at his aura.
Nah, that's it, man. Nah, that's it. That's great stuff right there. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us on The Gray Matters. As always, we appreciate all of you for joining us. Please continue to follow us on all of our streaming platforms, or if you joined us by way of YouTube, if you have any comments or questions you'd like to leave us, show topics, or just any ideas or things you'd like to share, we're definitely here for it. So with that, we want to thank you once again. We hope to see you next time as we bring you more fresh takes and conversation that I promise you will not find anywhere else. So be safe out there. Be kind and be blessed.
Hit the like button too. Give us a like. Peace.
Tell a friend. Like,
subscribe. All of it.
Yeah. Paul need friends.
There's a lot of y'all watching that's not hitting and mashing them buttons.
And we know you like it. Ooh, we know you like it.
Don't let it scare you.
Be easy, man.
See you next time.
Peace.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, meal, pray, survive in my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you see in the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is a fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find.
Promise.
Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World at Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walking to a bar. The Gray Matters.